Yeah.
Hei all.
So my name is Michiel. I wrote Mox, a modern secure all-in-one mail server. The goal with Mox is to make it really easy to run your own mail server so that you'll actually do it. And so that you know, you're keep in control of your data and you'll help keep email decentralized. So I've got a question, who's running their own mail server today? It's like, oh, it's pretty good. It's more than half. It's like 3/4, I think. So the rest, please give it a try soon. And Mox is an excellent option, I think. So today's talk will be about simplifying mail server setup and management later on a bit more. You know, because if it takes too much time, people are not doing it. So the agenda for today, a quick introduction to Mox, what it is, and then some pitfalls that people do still run into when they try to set up a mail server, you know, stuff that we maybe can take away, make it easier. And then some plans for the coming year for me to make changes to Mox to make it easier to install. So I normally don't really like talking about stuff that I still am going to do, but I'm going to do it anyway. The talk is then going to derail a little bit in a section about automatic DNS updates, because this is one of the ways to potentially make it easier to run your mail server. Quick introduction to Mox. So it really wants to be an all-in-one thing, so that you don't need anything else to run a mail server, just Mox. So it does SMTP, SPF, DKIM, DMARC, the reporting on TLS, and DMARC, DANE, MTA, STS, all that stuff to send and receive messages. Of course, you want to read your messages, so we've got IMAP4 and a bunch of extensions, and then a webmail, because you know, it is convenient oftentimes. But you're not there yet, you need the junk filtering, the TLS certificates with ACME, auto-configuration, internationalized email addresses. There's an admin panel for adding and removing domains, accounts, and addresses. There's even an API for sending transactional email and getting webhooks back for delivery stuff. And there's a web server included. So all of this stuff is a complete mail server that you can run all of your email in. It's written in Go with some front-end stuff in TypeScript, and it's MIT licensed. And the idea is you'll get your system, you download the binary. It's a Go binary, static, completely standalone. And you run the quick start. So you give it your domain or an address at your domain, and it will generate a configuration file. It will do a bunch of checks. Is the environment okay? And if not, it will tell you what's wrong and how you can fix it. It will print all the DNS records that you have to add. And if you do that, then you should start it, and you're good to go. You've got a functioning system. So that's all great and very easy, of course. But somehow stuff goes wrong. And why do things go wrong? Well, I mean, this is also a long talk. I'm going to list some things. It's not as bad as maybe this image makes it look. But some of the things I see people doing, they get a machine, and then the host name, the fully qualified host name that should resolve to the public IP, actually on their machine resolves to a loopback IP. So it's kind of silly, because then if you try to deliver to your own domains, that starts failing, because it tries to deliver to the loopback IP, and nothing is listening there because Mox is listening on the public IP. So in the quick start, we check for that, and we warn, this is going on. You have to fix it this and this way. So that's one thing to do. Outgoing SMTP is often blocked on new machines. I want to do a bit of expectation management for users, you have to fix this first and then come back, and et cetera, et cetera. People want to add their DKIM DNS records for RSA. These are really long, and you have to split them up in strings of 255 bytes, but some DNS web operator interfaces don't understand that, and they will give you really lousy error messages, and people, or they create something that's invalid, and then it doesn't work. So we check for that after you set up. Okay, did you actually correctly set this? And if not, you get to fix it. Then there's network address translation issues. Somehow people set stuff up so incoming connections appear to be coming from a local IP, and that breaks all the SPF. So I don't have a good way to check for that yet, but I want to add something like that for that. Then there's reverse DNS that is only settable on some machines for the IPv4 address, not the IPv6. So when we deliver outgoing messages, we normally pick one. But if you happen to pick the IPv6 one, then stuff breaks for that outgoing delivery. So we make it possible, of course, to set rules for that now. I should automate some more changes to make it easier for users to find those settings, because now these are reports or issues I get reported. How can I do this? How can I solve this? So I want to make this stuff easier for them. Then there's a whole bunch more. no DNS stack in resolvers. I don't know why we still don't have this by default in Linux machines. You get your non-verifying play. And then, of course, I tell people to install Unbound. And you know, most of the time that works, but somehow people also can mess that up. But we check for that, and we warn, like, this is not working yet, you have to fix it. No DNS stack on the domain. So please, if you register a new domain, check if your DNS operator already does DNS stack. If not, go somewhere else and make host your domain there. Because if you want to migrate your domain to a new DNS operator when setting up email, that's two big things that you know you have to do. Then admins want to send set up MOX, and MOX does everything, including the web server, but they want to run Nginx or some other web server in front of that. Now that is possible, but with email, you've got auto-configuration endpoints and MTA SDS endpoints that need per domain that need a web server. So you can do all this, but then you have to set up Nginx forwarding or some other web server forwarding, and somehow that also doesn't always work out well for people. So also stuff that can go wrong. Then IPs can be on DNS block lists. We check for that and we warn about it, expectation management. And I should, but we don't do that yet, warn about newly registered domains. Because if you get a new domain and you try to deliver to something, then there's a good chance that the receiving party has a bunch of checks, and one of these red flags for an incoming message is like, is this from a newly registered domain? Because that's what spammers do. They register a new domain and they start spamming. Again, I want to do some more expectation management of users. Watch out, this can work, but you may run into some problems at first. Then some plans for making this easier. So currently we have this MOX quick start. It does a bunch of checks and it prints what's wrong and it prints tells you how to fix it. But then there's no easy way to run the checks again. So people think they fixed it, but somehow it's not working yet. They continue with the setup, they try delivering, and they get into weird error messages that they don't understand. So I want to do a bit more hand-holding with a web step-by-step guided setup. Just to, like if you go to some cloud-based application, you get taken into this flow, like step one, step two, you want to get all the green check marks. I want to add something like you can recheck that it's currently working, like after you've fixed stuff, so that after all these steps, you are pretty much guaranteed to not see any issues anymore. I have some ideas for deliverability things, because deliverability is a big issue. If you want to run your own mail server, you have to get the other side to accept your email. And sometimes they are giving you a hard time. And sometimes they give you helpful error messages, but sometimes they don't. Or they give you some kind of cryptic code. Now, there are a few parties that are causing quite a bit of pain. And I think we can maybe detect when deliveries fail, that the delivery attempts were to those hosts, and then we can tell the admin, like, this is a known thing, this is how you work around it, or this is what you can do. So just again to help the users set up their system and that they don't get the feeling that this is also very complicated and that they can do it themselves. So this is my, I don't know if anyone's doing this or if this is a good idea, but I think it can maybe in theory work. So if you know of any of these patterns or bad parties, come talk to me, and then maybe you can make a list of those. And I can build it into MOX, and then the postmaster can get a message saying, this is going on, fix it like this. Then I also want to do one-click upgrades, just to make it even a little bit easier. Now, if you want to update MOX, you download a binary, and you restart it, so it's not that complicated. But sometimes I tell the users, you have to run this command because you want to reparse all the messages, because the message parser has changed. This is annoying, of course. If you get too many of those emails, you think, I don't want to upgrade again. But if you just make it all automatic, just download the binary, make a backup first, restart it without any downtime. That would be a nice addition. And then automatically run those reparsing and whatnot scripts. That, again, lowers the burden on an admin to run their own mail server. Then I think I can also help with a few chores that are, you could say, are out of the scope for the mail server, because you can say, you are a system administrator, you run this software, and some stuff are the mail system's problem, but other stuff is your problem. But I think we can still help with that. For example, backups. So MOX currently has a way to make, there's a MOX backup command, and it makes a backup of, which is a consistent snapshot of all the message files and all the database files that are needed. It puts them in a local directory, but then it tells the admin, there it is. Now you make sure it goes to some off-site place to keep it safe. And of course, you can tell the admin that, but I can also help you do what you're probably going to do anyway, which is write it to SFTP or S3 in some remote location. So I can, why not ask for some credentials, write it away once a day. Just another chore that you don't have to do when you set up a new machine. Encryption of data addressed. So currently, all the files, all the message files, are unencrypted on disk. Also, the, for example, TLS private keys are unencrypted on disk. So I feel bad about it. And and I want to at least encrypt all those things. Need to figure out where to store the key and how to get that to the machine. But at least it should not be on the block storage unencrypted, I think. So it should be the default. So I want to do that for files. It should not be too hard. For database files, it will be more complicated because the database layer doesn't allow me to get in there anyway. So that will be a longer term thing. So another thing is alerting. If you set up a MOX, now you've got, it exports Prometheus metrics. But if you're a new admin, for example, that doesn't yet have a Prometheus or an alert manager, you have to go off and install that. It's a whole new stack. It's a whole new problem. While MOX already tracks all these numbers. So MOX can also just, by default, send you emails maybe when something is wrong. And of course, you still have the choice to set up Prometheus and whatnot for scraping, but it's one chore you don't necessarily have to do in the beginning. So another chore removed. And then creating DNS records. That is one thing we maybe can also automate for users. Because if you set up a new domain, every domain needs about 15 DNS records if you want to have a fully configured setup. It's a bit annoying, especially if you have one of those DNS web operator web interfaces where you have to copy-paste first the record name, then select the type, and then copy-paste the value, and then do that 15 times. It's a bit annoying. So that's part of the why, but that's only for the domain setup. Later on, you may want to make changes to your configuration. And it would be nice if you could do that with one click. So for example, with ACME, to get TLS certificates, I would configure Let's Encrypt, and that will be configured by default. But it would be nice if you could just show a button that enables account binding in the CA record. So only your machine can get certificates for your domain. So I can, of course, ask people to go to the DNS web operator and change some DNS settings, but it would be nicer if it's just one click. More important for me is to make these automatic DNS changes just as a continual operational thing. So I can already ask people to make some changes if they're necessary, and go into examples of why this would be necessary in a moment. But if you want to do that, you have to be really careful with your DNS propagation. And oftentimes you have to make a DNS change and then wait for a bit to make a configuration change and then wait for a bit more, and you have to do it in the right order. Don't forget about it. In practice, this is annoying, so people don't do it. Or in practice, people make mistakes and it subtly breaks their email. And of course, this is one of the reasons that people don't do it, because they don't want to break their email. But if computers can do this automatically pretty good. They're pretty good at timing and doing stuff at the right time. So for one example of why you would need this is with Dane for your key rotations. So Dane is a way to do decentralized TLS verification. So you don't need that single CA centralized party to verify your TLS connections. But you put the public fingerprints of the public keys of your TLS keys in DNS. Now, sometimes you want to rotate those things. If you want to rotate it, you want to use a new private key, you have to first make sure that the new public key's fingerprints are in DNS, as well as the old ones. Then wait for the DNS propagation so that everyone will have the new keys. So all the old record with only the single old key is phased out, and the new key, the new record that everyone sees has both keys. And then you can start using your new key, and then you can remove the old public key from the DNS. So those are two steps you have to do in the right order. This is pretty tricky. If you get this wrong, your mail breaks, your deliverability breaks. So in practice, this is not happening. And this is what, with MOX, you get Dane, but there's no key rotation, private key rotation. And I feel bad about it, so I want to fix it. But I don't want to ask admins to make manual DNS record changes. Another one is DKIM key rotation. So you can, for DKIM, signing that the email is coming from your domain, you can create a new key, you can publish it in DNS, the public key, you can publish it in DNS, but you have to wait for the propagation of DNS, because there can be negative lookup results in caches. So if you start using that key immediately, stuff will break. You have to first generate it, publish it, wait for the propagation, then start using it, and then you think, I can remove the old key. But you cannot do that yet because you have to wait for all the email that is still out there in transit, because they still, you know, want to be able to verify that that message is, you know, correctly signed. So you have to wait maybe a week or 2 weeks before you remove the old key. So if you forget and you have this old bunch of configuration stuff laying around. But of course, we can do it automatically. Same goes for MTA STS policies. Like when you set up a new system, you essentially want to start with show short lifetimes of these policies, and then when it's stable, ramp them up. You don't want to immediately ramp up to the secure, like recommended default of having cacheability in weeks, because you know, that if you make a mistake in the beginning, you'll suffer the consequences for a while. So you want to stay short, but you want to increase the lifetimes automatically after a while. At least I want to do it automatically, because if you ask people to do it manually, it's a lot of work and they don't want to do it. So now this is the why I think it's useful, and now the how. And there's good news. We've got this thing called DNS update. You can see from the RC number that is very old, so it should be stable, and we can all do it. That's great. I just need a little bit more, because DNS update is a very simple thing for asking a DNS server to, you know, add a record and remove a record, but I also want to read all the current records, because I want to know about the DNS propagation. I need to calculate what's the state of DNS. So there's there's a thing for that as well, and it's called zone transfers, AXFR. So that exists. We can use it. Awesome. I also want to be notified asynchronously of changes to the zone. That's DNS notify. So that's pretty good. Yeah, good to go. But no, of course not. That's bad news. Many people have their DNS hosted at some cloud provider, and they don't offer this DNS update, zone transfer, and notify protocols. So now the nice plan goes out of the window. They do have, on the other hand, custom APIs. Every DNS operator is making up their own API. And they're not very complicated. Sometimes they're simple. That's like JSON HTTP with an authentication token. So that's pretty easy. But you know, there's still a whole bunch of them. But there's also bigger SDKs. So you have to, like a big cloud provider has many things. And they have a big SDK that you can use. So I don't want to link all that stuff in the MOX binary. It's too much churn, too much code. By the way, if you have your own binds or not or something, you do have access to these. So this, I think, a very limited set of people. I want to have this solution work for people, and not only for myself, but also for other people. So I think we need a better solution than this. So by the way, if you are one of those cloud providers, consider doing something standard. Having all these custom APIs is a bit silly. It doesn't scale. So question is, I can be the first one to have this problem, right? Someone else has solved this for me. So what do they do? Well, the most common solution is, of course, to say, no, we're not doing this. We're not helping you. It's your problem. Yeah, so.
90%.
Yeah, maybe. That's not a solution. Now, with Let's Encrypt and Acme, we've got this Acme Challenge thing where you can use DNS to verify your identity, blah, 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 so you can get a certificate. You can make it a CNAME to something that is more dynamic. So just that thing, you can put the challenge in that dynamic thing. So that could work, but for DNS, for email, it won't work because you have so many records that you have to change, and it doesn't work. For some records, it won't work. So I don't think that's an option. Other software has just implemented all these APIs, custom APIs. Okay, I don't like doing that. And there's something called Domain Connect, which is a few years old. It may be standardized. Long story short, I don't think it fits this bill, but it is aimed to solve a somewhat similar problem. But still, so the plan for me is to only implement the standard protocols, because that makes more sense to me. Yeah. So in MOX, then later, when this is implemented, when you add a domain, I ask for the name server and the credentials, and then we're good to go. And if you are at one of those custom cloud API providers. I see a question already. Oh.
Are you familiar with the project
OctoDNS? If I'm familiar with OctoDNS, I know it is a project to automatically synchronize changes, I think, to cloud operators. Yeah, I've heard about it, yes.
Okay.
So my solution to this now is to ask people to install this separate tool that I wrote called DNS Clay. Clay for Cloud Gateway. And it works like this. DNS Clay is receiving the DNS update and zone transfers and sending the DNS notify messages. So Mox only has to speak with DNS Clay. And then in DNS Clay, you will configure your provider, one of the 60 currently, and your credentials, and it will translate between those. So then if people say, oh, I don't have my DNS updates, then I can say, oh, you can still do it that way. It's not a great solution because people have to install a separate tool, so I have to make it easy to install as well. but at least I'm not complicating Mox too much with this stuff. And maybe other open source projects that have this problem, I would also not have to link in all those providers and the configuration and all the nonsense, but can just use the standard approach. So that's my hope. And I think it will keep all the complexity and pain of these caused by these DNS providers out of Mox. So this is a screenshot of adding a new domain, a new zone. You can select one of these 60 operators. And you provide it with these with whatever they need. This is input fields. This is all. So I didn't implement all this stuff myself. I am using the libDNS project. The libDNS is a project started by the Caddy Web Server project, which are known for doing automatic TLS certificates with Let's Encrypt. And they had this problem as well, and they made community-provided libraries to talk to all these providers, so I'm just using that. And I didn't implement any of these back-end things, but you can still benefit from it. So, concluding, plans. For this year to make it easier to run your mail server and set it up and maintain it. And finally, I want to thank all users of Mox. Are there any users of Mox today here? Yes? Wow. Yeah, I see a few hands. So thanks for providing feedback code and keep it coming. And for to NLNet and NGI and the EU for funding some work on Mox. So that's it. Thank you for your attention.
Really repeat the questions, not just for the audience, but also for other audio, because
I will try to, but remind me if I forget.
I saw already one, two fingers.
If so many people here already have their own mail servers, what can you do to help us move our existing mail data into Mox?
So the question is, many people have their mail server. How can Mox help people move from whatever they have now to Mox? So, So Hans-Jürg does professional services around that. So if you're a big party, you can come to him. But that's a good question. I would like to help with that. And I think the normals. So what I want to do, but this is maybe a little bit later in the future. If you migrate a domain. If you want to move the domain to Mox, that there's also a sort of guided step-by-step thing that says, I detect that you currently are at this operator. You want to be here, so you need to make these DNS changes. And also to help you IMAP sync your data. Because I think that's what people most need.
I assumed IMAP sync was going to be the main answer.
But I also want to really make it easy so that you can do all the steps in the right order and not lose any email and not break anything in the way. But the IMAP sync is definitely, I think, the main part, and that it's missing. But there's already an IMAP client in Mox, so we have just need a little bit more time to implement.
Are you aware of the DNS control project from Stalker?
If I'm aware of the DNS control project, I'm not sure about it. Is it a similar thing like OctoDNS that you can specify what your DNS settings need to be and that you can sync it to?
Yes.
They use JavaScript
as a DSL.
No, I've looked at a few of those projects and I decided it's not automatic enough for me, but maybe I should check some of those solutions again. It will be a lot of work to implement this.
More of a question regarding the structure. Why did you decide to bundle everything together in a monolithic structure? You have the SMTP, IMAP, and everything, and the webmail together, instead of actually chunking it out into separate projects. Why do you think that's better? And also, why did you use already existing libraries for instance, for IMAP, SMTP? I saw you wrote most of it yourself. I'm curious about your choice.
Yeah, so the question is, why did I put all of the protocols and so on in one binary, in one application, and not keep it separate or reuse more of other existing applications? So So what I don't like is when you have to mesh together lots of components to get a working system. And so that's why this is one big system, although I could still deliver one system in multiple components maybe. Though I didn't see really much of the need for that. As in not much of an advantage in doing that, because then you have split stuff that you try to put together. Why not put it together in the first place? There's also interactions between incoming SMTP things in a mail store that normally, like in classic mail setups, you have the SMTP thing, and it can deliver to the mail store, but not know much more about that mail store. But in Mox, the message classification of junk and non-junk, they influence the SMTP server, and if the SMTP server is going to reject the message in a certain way. So I think there's advantage to having all of this in one server that has access to all the
data. Target audience is mostly like for personal use.
Small use cases, but I would say companies of 100 users could also easily use this. Except that the webmail is a bit Spartan maybe, so I think it currently appeals mostly to sort of the technical audience. But I think if I touch up the UI and it make it look a bit more like people expect it to, then it would work just as well. Mox is not meant to be like a super scaling ISP that sends 10,000 messages a second or something. That's not the audience. I want people to run their own mail service first, and that's the goal.
We got one final question here.
As you already have the kitchen sink and everything, why not just have the DNS server also, so that we don't.
Yeah. So the question is, why don't I just add a DNS server to Mox instead? Yeah, it's very tempting, to be honest.
Yeah. So you can do the CNAME thing.
I think my main answer to that, my main answer to that is DNSSEC is a bit more complicated than I want to take on at this moment, because I'm not going to do a non-DNSSEC DNS server, of course, because I have my sort of standards. Yeah. But yeah, true, but yeah, it's a very appealing option. Yeah,
it's
my.
So, I think you can take some questions.
Yeah, thank you.